All those, we always talk about, we refer to this as middle of the mountain.
Yeah.
You rarely have these mountaintop moments of like, I'm getting married every week because it's so crazy awesome, right? You don't have these mountaintop moments all the time. And then even though despite what Eeyore says, you don't have a valley moment all the time. It may feel that way, but most of the time we're right there in the middle of the mountain in some fashion, up and down kind of thing. And so that's where we do life, right? And so finding that blessing in those moments, I think your children are looking for, because that's where they're going to live their most of their life too. Welcome to another episode of Uncommon Podcast. I am TJ.
I am Joshua.
And you are not. Anyway, this week we're talking about spiritual leadership, restoring the role of the father. Father, little F, us, father of household kind of thing. And this would apply even to maybe the role of a husband in a household. But I think guys would say something like, I'm there for the games. I'm there for the dinners. But I think I miss everything else. And when I talk to guys, especially salesmen who travel, their feet barely touch the ground. They're like a baby with shoes that never touch the ground. That's kind of like some guys that they fly into a place, do their trade show thing, their conference or meeting, whatever, and then they're flying to the next one, and pretty soon they only get home for the weekend, that kind of thing. You don't spend enough time with your family, and I'm sure you'd be the first one to say that. And so, that's got to be difficult to be expected to be a full-time dad or husband, and based off of your job or your interests, hobbies, personality, you are part-time dad or part-time husband. And so we're trying to transition here from provider, which is important, to maybe spiritual leader of the home, because that helps build a foundation that transcends. Like, what if you are not the breadwinner of your family?
Right. I think this kind of goes back to a couple of weeks when we talked about finding value in your job or your career, right? I think for some guys, that slippery slope of, well, it's easy for me to go be the provider because I just go work and then I make the money and then I can check it off the list. It's easy to show up to the baseball games or the dinners because those are, I can check that off my list. See, I'm present,
I'm
but
sitting at the table with you
right.
guys right now.
But if you are not being intentional about leading your family or your household as a spiritual leader, something else will.
Oh, definitely.
And I think that's definitely an area where lackadaisical, laid-back guys really struggle because they're like, well, I don't want to be the leader. I don't like being the leader. I don't like being head of the pack or whatever. But that is a non-negotiable. Lord called us to be the spiritual leaders of the household. And whether you like it or not, that's falls to you. And you don't want to have to be paying that price 20, 30 years down the road and seeing your kids fall away, go the opposite. Now, you're not the gatekeeper, right? Of like, well, I did that and my kids are now in the church. Great. I didn't, there's not a direct correlation, right?
Sure.
But
You're not responsible if you've done everything that you've been called to do to lead them to Christ.
right. And so, but they're gonna have a way better shot if they see you leading the household
Sure.
and not just being, well, dad, he goes fishing on Sunday, mom takes us to church, or dad's working late at the office again, mom took us to Wednesday night service, or well, mom reads the Bible stories to us, dad, he's taking a nap right now.
Right.
It's those kind of things that is that quote unquote extra mile of when your family sees you, do they think, oh yeah, that he's the spiritual leader of the household, where they go, and well, he makes the money, so I guess he's kind of the head of the household.
Yeah, that was that's not the prerequisite, right? It's not the there are a lot of people who make money for their households who are horrible dads or fathers. And so that is a slippery slope to put your job, the money you make, as your defense of, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so the scripture we have focused on today is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And you can't do that if you're not in the moment. And I love that in here is a difference of being there and being in the moment. And I've seen dads in the room, and well, they are totally checked out. And I've seen dads that they've done all the things to lead that child to Christ. And I've seen it go sideways both ways. And so I do think that establishing yourself as a spiritual leader puts you in the best position. Because while you may not be responsible for the outcome of your child coming to Christ, you're definitely responsible for being an example and leading them to that decision. And so I know many parents struggle with that. And we even developed some resources called Good Talks. And they are age appropriate. Like we do some for the fathers. We have several that are for you speaking to a young child, like say 5, 6 year old, you know, those kind of questions. They're age appropriate. And then there's some for like, you know, teens and some for adults, kind of icebreakers that you're like, well, I don't know how to start that conversation. And so, yeah, I think being a spiritual leader transcends every other like skill set you could rattle off. Your child probably does not care that you make six figures. They do not care that you drive a Ferrari or the latest Wagoneer or whatever it is out there. But as they get older, I think you will might reap what you sow in that regard.
And what's interesting is that verse is the last chapter of Ephesians. We just finished reading it at our coffee group, and it's right before the part talking about master-servant relationship, but then it's immediately followed by the armor of God. And so it's interesting to see this conversation about, bringing them up in discipline and instruction, but then it ends with the armor of God of like, hey, you need to be doing these things of being in the Word and, the belt of truth and the sword of faith and all that kind of stuff. Because if that's not your repertoire, you're going to fail at the other things beforehand.
Now, my dad's generation, I grew up hearing this phrase, and I don't think I don't know, you tell me of the dads that you know your age kind of thing. Do as I say, not as I do. That was a phrase that was very, very popular when I was a child, that our parents, our uncles, even grandfathers to a degree, was like, I know I'm not doing it right, but you don't do it right. Like, hey, I got a cigarette in my hand. You don't smoke. It's bad for you. You know, that kind of thing. So I think where it becomes difficult is when we have to lead by example. You see that in that verse. Bring them up in discipline and instruction. You can't do that if you're not doing it yourself. Because you have no reference point. You have no idea what a straight stick is unless you've seen a crooked one. C.S. Lewis.
Because like, would a child take discipline and instruction from someone who's actively doing the opposite or not showcasing that firsthand? And it's interesting to see how often this plays out in family dynamics or even married dynamics. just the idea of like, okay, everything you're doing is being observed in some capacity. And if you are not intentional about, hey, I know everything's really busy right now, but we need to be at church. Or, hey, I just got in the door and it's, 9 o'clock at night, but I need to, it's time for my Bible reading. We had to get.
There's a song back in the 70s, Cats in the Cradle. This whole thing of like, the child's young, the dad's out at work. We'll get together soon, right? Because the boy keeps asking him to do stuff. And as they get older, the dad starts asking the child to do stuff. And he's like, I'm busy, can't do it. We'll get together soon, kind of thing. This is something that's not uncommon. This is a normal thing that life gets in the way. Our job is to push life back to make room for God. That should be there regardless, but we have a tendency to let life creep in. And next thing you know, we're like, well, I go to church every Sunday. Congratulations, you're doing this one day a week. Wow, what a sacrifice. If you're just saying that you're going to church once a week, that is a dangerous thing. I mean, that's not going to help you grow in your walk. That's a great thing you do. Fellowship of the saints, hearing God's word. What happens between Monday and Saturday? Application. So I hate to say that, but it is something that everybody's always struggled with. God knows that. And so presence versus engagement. This is where it said the difference between being in the room and being in the moment is quite different. And then the power of the blessing. Why your children, regardless of age, are starving for you, right? Starving for you to say things like, well done, good job with that. And so all these little bits and pieces that we, might overlook, encouragement, love, time. I mean, we haven't mentioned Gary Chapman in a long time, the five love languages. Still waiting on that check, Gary. There's things that go with your spiritual leadership, and your kids need every one of them. And you may not be good at any of them. When we first had you, we were not prepared. We thought we were, but until you have a child, you never are, right? Mike Tyson say, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? And so, giving your children a good role model, when at all possible, is one of the best things you could do, I think, for your family.
And I don't even think it matters whether you're good or bad at it. I mean, I think that this is the showing up, right? This is the putting in the effort and the work. But I think what a side effect of this does is it reminds me a lot of the running joke about homeschooling is like, I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. I just got to be a week smarter than my kid to be able to teach them, that kind of thing. Whereas like, as you start to become that spiritual leader of the household and try to lead your children and show by example, the best thing happens. Your faith grows deeper. You can't spend time in the word and pray and lead your family in what it means to be a Christ-following family and that not impact you in some capacity.
And even when you fail as a dad, they watch that too. How do you handle that failure? Oh, okay. So there will be failures. If you handle it somewhat like this, it might turn out better, right? So, even though you don't maybe win every day, there's still a lesson to be had there.
I think it's interesting because we talk about the sitcom husband a lot on here, and it makes me think a lot about like, the running joke of who wears the pants in the family, right? Of like, when you look at a couple, sometimes you can kind of tell like, all right, she wears the pants. She's the one pushing for this. And some guys are okay with that. Some are like, oh, I don't really care. I'll take a back seat. I'm the leader at my work. I'm the head of my bowling league or whatever.
It's almost like I sit in the back den, drink my beer, and watch TV. I don't care what happens.
I'm leader in other aspects. I can let someone else take the reins here. And it's a warning of that's not That's not a biblical role model for a family the Lord has placed for us.
Yeah, we're never meant to be passive.
No.
No. Discipleship in the mundane, finding God in the car rides, the chore list, the messy kitchen conversations. All of those, we always talk about, we refer to this as middle of the mountain.
Yeah.
You rarely have these mountaintop moments of like, I'm getting married every week because it's so crazy awesome, right? You don't have these mountaintop moments all the time. And then even though despite what Eeyore says, you don't have a valley moment all the time. It may feel that way, but most of the time we're right there in the middle of the mountain in some fashion, up and down kind of thing. And so that's where we do life,
Right.
right? And so finding that blessing in those moments, I think your children are looking for, because that's where they're going to live their most of their life too.
Right. And I think you set a precedence with having those conversations of if you aren't talking about your faith to your children or your spouse on a regular basis, why would they talk to you about it? If you're
Sure.
not setting that yard post of like, hey, what do you think about today's sermon when we come home for the car? Or, oh, hey, you have you want let's read Jonah together or something to that effect, right? If you're not doing those things and initiating that conversation, I think it's foolish to think in the future they'd have conversations with you about those things, right? You're not opening that door for that conversation. And I think for some people or some guys, they're like, ah, well, I'll catch you when you get older and you get more fun to hang out with. It's like
Right,
these people, they think like, oh, young kids are hard. I'm not gonna put the work in. But once you get, when you get drinking age, we'll go hit the pub kind of thing or whatever. And if you don't spend the time to set aside the foundation of, what your faith means to you, so they can see that and have those conversations with you and not feel like, oh, well, dad doesn't talk about this kind of stuff,
yeah.
then it's you're not gonna have those conversations when they're an adult. Cats in the cradle example, right? If you're not gonna set aside time to show what the Lord's doing in your life, in your household, don't act surprised when it doesn't happen in the future the other way.
My parents, Dana's parents, our aunts and uncles, you probably can think of someone in your life that maybe is a little bit older than you, as your parents or so, and think of, you would talk to them, as long as you talk about to them about like one or two things, you're golden. Sure, I'll talk about football, weather, or shopping, I got a coupon at Kohl's, or new record, the record day store is coming out this weekend. But if you try to talk about something about your faith, their faith, scripture, life, feelings, oh my goodness, you're supposed to be a robot, don't mention that, the F word, there's nothing. And so I love that both you and I have this, especially from work, but I've always been able to do small talk. Somebody walks up and they're like, I'm in the hang gliding. I have no interest in hang gliding. I've never really seen anybody do it, really. We're going to talk about hang gliding for the next like 10 minutes. I'm going to ask questions. It's just how I'm well wired that way. And so I think it's important to be able to do that with our children and any topic, and then point that back to Christ.
Yeah.
Because if you are a one-trick pony, it's like, man, as long as my kids come to me and talk about fixing a car or golf or my work, we're golden. Well, if they come to me and ask a question about Christ, whew, that's above my pay grade. I'm going to have to call the preacher man.
Ask the preacher on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Go ask your mother, that type of thing. So the action step could be here is ask each child or your spouse, what is the one thing that I do as a spiritual leader? I have to say that part, but one thing that I do that makes you feel loved, or we'll use something vernacular today's world, seen, right? And then whatever they say, do more of that. This is kind of the love language. Your love language is mom is spending time. We spend a ton of time together, and that's what you do. Sounds obvious. We're in a small group one time, and the guy's like, I don't know what the problem with my wife is. I bought her a new car. She's still not happy. I asked, "Do you know what her love language is?" "Well, yeah, it's spending time." He's like, "Well, then that's why the car's not hitting.
Right.
She doesn't really want gifts, she wants your time." "But my love language is giving gifts." "That's irrelevant. You're trying to speak her love language," that kind of thing. I'm trying to read the room, so to speak, right? So, well, I think we've kind of beat this horse a little bit. It's time to land this plane. You can visit our website at uncommon.org. Check out all the content we have. This is one of our core kind of topics: husband, dads, and leaders. So there is a ton of content on our site around spiritual leadership in every facet, just starting to old like me. So I want to thank this week's sponsor, Studio 49 Digital Marketing. They've been with us from the beginning. We do all of our branding, all the web development, everything in between. So I want to thank them for that. And Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.